Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is primarily from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2a. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Thus far the text. When was the last time you can remember facing an impossible task? Something that you just didn't feel like you were up to handling, that you could measure up to what was being expected of you. As I think back over my life, I have a lot of examples of this, but one stood out in particular as I considered this theme today, and that was back in college. I had a test. It was a final. It was an essay test in an ancient Near Eastern class. And at that time, I was working a lot. I had just gotten married. I was very active in a campus ministry, and frankly, I really didn't have enough time to read the volumes of work I should have for that test. But I thought, you know, well, I'm pretty good at kind of working my way through, writing stuff. But I got to the test and saw the three questions that were on there, that Dr. Moyer had put on there, required 2 pages each of essay writing. And these were the things I knew the least about. I was toast. I knew it. I did my best, but afterwards I just recall going out and wandering around the Missouri State University campus thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just blew this. It's going to sink my grade in this class. It's core in my degree program. Didn't know what to do. It was an impossible task for me, and I failed. Well, over the years, there are other tasks like that for me. And then there's the matter of a vocation itself. Sometimes vocations, once you get into them, you answer that calling. Maybe it's that of a husband or a father or wife or mother or a pastor or whatever it is. And you think, wow, this is more than I can handle. I don't know what I'm going to do. That is what today's sermon is about. How do you face those? What's the way you approach this noble task of ministry that may at times, will at times, be full of impossible tasks for you to handle yourself? Well, after that and many other trials and tribulations, you might say, I kind of came to recognize that the best way to respond is to start off by thanking God. Why? Is it because you enjoy suffering or you enjoy not measuring up? No. It's because it is through that kind of suffering, like Paul talks about in Romans 8. He says, in all these things, and he's talking about things a lot worse than what I'm describing, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things. It's a matter of kind of reframing the experience, if you will. Well, today, as we celebrate your calls into the ministry, some of you have already received those. Some of those are coming in the near future. You've all been certified, though, and the calls are coming if they're not here yet. Today, as we celebrate those calls, we will think about how you are gifts to the church, because indeed, pastors are gifts to the church through the Holy Spirit. But also, I would like to focus your attention right now on how, ironically, the call into the holy ministry can be a blessing and gift to pastors because you're being called to do something that on your own is an impossible task. I want you to think of it in that way as you go forward. Well, the text that I referred to from 1 Timothy 3, it says, you know, if you desire the office of overseer, you're desiring a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. When I teach this to students in Intro to the Pastoral Ministry, or when we reflect on it in pastoral leadership and theology, people kind of just focus in on that above reproach requirement. You know, I think, Am I measuring up to that? Well, it's an important qualification, just like all of the ones Paul lists there. It's very important because the message that you bring needs to have a messenger bringing it that doesn't disqualify the message. That's why Paul is concerned about that, that you're above reproach, that you manage your life, your household, your relationships with others in the church and outside the church in holy and godly ways. It's very important. And you've heard that before here, and you'll continue to hear it. But what also is true is that if you were to put those requirements up there as kind of a true-false test and say, is my life above reproach? I think if you're being honest with yourself, like I am at times with my own, think, no. False, failed, impossible task. Noble task, yes, but for me, yeah, impossible, at least in a number of circumstances. In fact, I can think of a lot of those, but one in particular stands out when I was a young pastor, inexperienced in congregational leadership dynamics. And we had a challenge that we needed to address, and I thought I had come up with the perfect solution. I brought it to these folks out in rural Minnesota, people who I thought loved me, and I maybe later realized they still did, but when I brought that to them, the response was, no, we're not going to do that. And because it had not only consequences for them, but for my family and our life and well-being, I was angry. I was angry. I didn't show it to them, but when I got home, I probably slammed doors. I don't know what I did, but I was angry. And I remember very distinctly thinking to myself, I'm out of here, you know? At some point in the future, there's going to be a call coming, and I'm gone. And as I look back on that, I think, were you above reproach there? Were you providing good pastoral leadership in the holy ministry? No, no. Now, voters meetings can do that. There are ways to learn to lead in those contexts as you learn over time, and I did, but just the day-to-day challenges of the ministry, when measured against that high standard, it exposes the fact that we're just like our people when we offer that confession of sins. We're self-centered, you know. We're thinking of ourselves and our reputation more than them and their well-being. It is humbling. It is a recognition that on my own, it's an impossible, impossible task. The reason I point this out is to help us reframe this and recognize the blessed irony of how this can be a super great blessing to a pastor because it helps him in that daily dying to himself and living in Christ. As we just sang that Old Testament canticle from Isaiah. If you're thinking about how, okay, I'm not measuring up and I need hope in Christ, when you looked at that, you're thinking, wow, I have hope in the Lord God, in Yahweh, in Christ my Savior. Thanks be to God. And without those kinds of crosses in our vocations, without those impossible tasks, I'll speak for myself, but I think it's true for all sinners, we're not able to move ourselves into that position of receiving the gifts of Christ. The Holy Spirit uses those to cut us to the heart, uses the suffering to produce perseverance and character so that we can find hope in Christ, writes Paul. Now, that's true for all Christians in any vocation. Just think about it. As a Christian, you're called to love your enemy, right? And that's nice in theory, but then when it gets, you know, in a concrete situation, you recognize, oh, wait a minute, you know. And we're to forgive others if God is going to forgive us. Whoa, wait a minute. But for pastors who are often put on a pedestal, who are often treated better than they deserve, it's really helpful to remember that God uses this cross in your vocation to ironically teach you to find hope in Christ alone. So here's the takeaway. habits. I'm big on habits as being formative. Develop a habit to when you face an impossible task, whether it's in the ministry or some other vocation, to thank God for that, for the impossibility of it, so that you can let it become God's alien work, that tentatio that Luther talks about. And then secondly, the habit of receiving the ministry of Christ for you. Having a father confessor stick the holy absolution in your ears in response to your confession regularly as a normal habit and course of daily life, well, monthly life for a lot of us, daily prayer. And then when you're leading the service, pay attention to the words. They're for you as well as for your people. So impossible tasks, well, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.